We are going to start again from Tnan, which is about halfway down on Pei Beis Amid Beis. It's not such a big amid. The last word on the line, Tnan. And Dragon is Nice. Now, Tysus learns that we learn from the word Nice seems to say he should get married. If we're Mesupik, if he's a male or a female, why would we be obligated to get married? Nice, Tysus says, Mashma, that it is an obligation to get married. That he's obligated to get married. It's not so clear that he's obligated to get married. If he's a Suffolk, the way Rish Lakish learns, that he's only rabbinically allowed to feed his wife Truma, but not biblically, that means you're not sure if he's male. Well, if you're not sure he's male, so then why is there an obligation to say he has to get married? You should say, because of doubt, he should get married, not because he's obligated. He might not be obligated. After the Gemara Tana Imdasa. What it means to say is, if he got married, this is the halacha. It's very nice to say pshat, but that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says nice, which is mashma that it's an obligation. I'm learning like Tysus the second shot. Zog the Gemara l'tameich. And how would you understand it? My avoloi nisa. When it says avoloi nisa, but he can't get married. He can't be the subject of marriage, meaning he can't be the female partner of a marriage. Is that l'chatchila? Teretz says, what are you going to say? That it doesn't work, meaning it's not allowed. If somebody marries him, it might be a mishkav zachar. It's not like avoloi nisa. He has an obligation to marry as a male and doesn't have an obligation to marry as a female. He's not allowed to marry as a female, right? Teretz says it's the evet. So now you say, not me the evet. Just like the end of the Mishnah means it doesn't work. So the beginning of the Mishnah means it works, not that he's obligated. Zok de Gemara Amri. No, it's not a good answer. Loi. Noisa l'chatchila mashma, but loi nisa nama di'evet loi. You can't say that. Loi nisa means the marriage doesn't work. Noisa means he has to get married. You can't say since one means it doesn't work, the other means it works. That's not what the word means. And the Gemara remains this way, that the Mishnah is a proof to Rabbi Yechimim, that he's a complete male with an obligation to get married. He is considered a zachar with an obligation to get married, and if somebody marries him, it is not a valid marriage, even be suffolk. He's definitely not female. He's definitely considered a male. Rashi. Tanan, and it works for biblical things as well. Tanan. And dragon is nice to the chatchila, I'm a zachar ma'al but kashal or shlokish, I made machal because of a shek. Tanan, nasi, nasi. The boy gita me name is from suffolk zachar. It's a suffolk zachar. Loilam sveikahu. But it's really a suffolk. My avoloi nisa, the mashma b'dievet. Hakikasinan, nisa d'yevet, anami d'yevet. Amri, loi. Nisa l'chatchila, avoloi nisa d'yevet, anami loi. Meaning, you can't say since the end means it doesn't work, therefore the beginning means it works. It's not what the words say. Loilam koshile l'rishlakish, v'daikik Rabbi Yechanan. The Mishnah makes more, reads better according to Rabbi Yechanan. The nice day means an obligation to get married. He's a definite male. Correct the Gemara. We got a problem though. As we go back to the Mishnah on Pei Aleph and Aleph, Rabbi Yechim Shimon said, Androgyn is nice day veloy nisa, the Tanakhama said. And Rabbi Eliezer says, Androgyn is hayavin olav skila kazachar. Now, if we're right, the nice day means he's a total male. Biblically, he has an obligation to get married, and he can feed his wife Truma Daraisa, like we just said. That's how we're translating the Tanakhama. So what's Rabbi Eliezer saying? He's chayiv skila kazachar. If you learn like Rish Lakish, Tanakhama is saying, we're not sure if he's male or not, but for rabbinic purposes, we consider him male. The marriage is good enough to feed her Truma Drabonon. But really? Not convinced 100% he's male. And if he lives with a male, we wouldn't give him skila because we're not sure it's Mishkav Zachar. Comes along Rabbi Eliezer and says, no, he's a total male and he's chayav skila for living with another male. That would be the machloikas, the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer. Again, Tanakhama says, Andragin is nice of Eloi Nisa. And Rabbi Eliezer, I'm a chayav and alo skila kazachar. There's the machlokes here. The loinisa means he can't be the subject of the marriage. He's not a woman.
It doesn't take effect.
Doesn't take effect. Right. So if you learn like Rish Lakish, even though the word nisei doesn't make sense, because nisei seems to say he's obligated he's a real male, but at least we can understand the machlokes. Rish Lakish does not consider him a vadai male, and Rabbi Eliezer says no, he's 100% male. He's chayiv skila if he lives with a male. So that's the machlokes, the Tanakhama, Rabbi Eliezer. But if you learn like Rabbi Eichelim, the Tanakhama is saying he's 100% male. He marries like a male. He feeds his wife chazim v'shaik. He feeds his wife tumah deraisa. This is 100% male. What's Rabbi Eliezer adding? We just said he's 100% male. We know the halakas of a male. Dr. Gemara, but did Tani say Rabbi Eliezer, I'm dragging his chayav mavskila kazachar? Mechlal, the Tanakhama tzvukim esapkele. The Tanakhama must have a suffix. If not, what is the machlokes? And for the Gemara.
Can't you say it's specific for ancient?
I lost you. Is he male or is he not male? Tanakhama says he's 100% male, according to Rabbi Eichelon.
So you get skila also?
Why not? If he's male, why not? You're letting him feed his wife because of a sheik? Can't have it both ways. So what's Rabbi Eliezer adding? And for the Gemara. Zog the Gemara now. Bein Lamar, Mipshim Shitua. They both consider him 100% male. Iki Benayu, Skila Mishnei Mekaymas. This is a side issue. Androgynous can be lived with two different ways. Since he has female genitalia as well as his male genitalia, somebody can live with him in his female genitalia, like a woman. Someone can also live with him like a male lives with a male, which is Shloi Kedarka. So there's two ways to have a relationship with an androgynous. Regular male to male, the way to have a relationship is be a Shloi Kedarka. There is no penetration on the regular side. It's only on Shloi Kedarka. That's called Mishka Zachar, Tzchayev Skila. An androgynous has two. Now, when a person lives with an androgynous, a male lives with an androgynous, is the chiyuv skila on both ways of penetrating, or is he 100% male, and the chiyuv skila is only the way one would live with a male? But if one would live with him in his female genitalia, there would be no skila. It would be a male living with a male, but that's not Mishkav Zachar. Mishkav Zachar is living with a male the way a male lives with a male. He's not living with this androgynous the way a male lives with a male. He's living with this androgynous the way a male lives with a female. And that is not skila. That's the machlokes, and it's based on psukim. And for the Gemara, Bein Lamar, Mipshim Shitalei. They both treat him as 100% male. Ikki Benayu Skila Mishnei Mekaymas. Is there skila on both ways of living with the person? The Mar Sava Chayav Mo Skila Mishnei Mekaymas. The Tanakhama considers him 100% male, totally male, in both places, and it's Mishkav Zachar, whether one lived with him one way or the other way. Well, Mar Sovereign Rabbi Eliezer is being Mekel, and he's saying, Chayavan Olafkila Kizachar, only during the way a male lives with a male, and not like the other one. Rashi, Mishnei Mekaymas, Masvina Rabbi Eliezer, Tani Seva, Mishnei Mekaymas, Afilu Binakvusai, even in his female side. But time of the fire shall come and be krov shmait, and the Gemara will learn it out from Sukkim. Only in his male part place, not in his female place. Zuck the Gemara
Vice. This
an androgynous according to our Mishnah. Yeah, there's different tannaim about androgynous. But our Mishnah set up an androgynous. If you look at our Mishnah, it said, Reb Jason and Reb Shimon said he can feed a truma. Right? Which Reb Yochanan learned meant truma deraisa, which meant he's a definite 100% male. He's marrying a female. And then the Tanakhama came along and said, androgynous nice to Veloy Nisa. He has a mechiv to marry as a male, and he cannot have an effective marriage as a female. He's 100% male. And Rabbi Eliezer adds, he's 100% male and he's chayiv skila. Those are, nobody in our Mishnah mentioned any other opinion according to the way Rabbi Yechonon learns the Mishnah. Our Mishnah was operating under the assumption that Androgynous is 100% male. The Machloikis ended up being whether he does Mishkav Zachar with another male, is he Chayiv Skila if he lives in his female genitalia. That's what ends up being the Machloikis. Now, there are Tanoim out there that say an Androgynous is not a male. He's a Suffolk. And there's a third opinion out there that says he's neither male or female. He's a creature on his own. So there are three opinions in Shas. Our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yechonon, did not entertain any other approach. Everybody considered him male, and the question became a detail in when he's Chayiv Skila. Rabbi Reish Lakish said that the first Tana wasn't sure he's male, and therefore only allowed him to eat rabbinic things, his wife, not biblical. But according to Rabbi Yechonon, there was no question. Our Tana was going only male. Everybody, Rabbi Yaisi, Rabbi Shimon, Tadakama, Rabbi Lezer, there's no other entertaining any other Svara in our Mishnah. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I want to be clear. Everybody agrees there's Tanoim out there that say we don't know how to treat an androgynous. And everybody agrees that there's a third sheet out there that says an androgynous is neither male or female. Dr. Gemara Bait.
But there's no, lava of so Ava. I mean, no, this is just talking about...
The Mishkav Zachar is Chayiv Skila.
No,
there's no
law. No, according to
Rabbi Lezer. That's not Skila.
Oh, but there's a law?
Yeah, you're not allowed to do it.
No, I think you're allowed to.
Is there
a law?
I have no idea. It's not Skila.
Of course not.
It might be a law, it might not be a law. It doesn't make a difference to us. We're learning that in the Mishnah. It's not Skila. Don't think of my Abai Tamar Rav. The way our Mishnah quoted Rabbi Yaisi, he held, again going to the Rabbi Yechonon, he held that an androgynous is a male. Well, there's a brisa out there that says Rabbi Yechonon says an androgynous is not a definite male. So therefore, the right version of Rabbi Yaisi is the brisa's version of Rabbi Yaisi, not the Mishnah's version of Rabbi Yaisi. So even though our Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yaisi as saying he's male, he feeds his wife truma, and we're learning now, like Rabbi Yechonon, biblical truma. The brisa says, Rabbi Yaisi says, I don't know how to treat an androgynous. He might be female. And therefore, the brisa's version of Rabbi Yaisi disagrees with our Mishnah's version of Rabbi Yaisi. Therefore, dismiss the Mishnah's version of Rabbi Yaisi in favor of the brisa's version. That's what Rav is saying. Lesson l'masnissen, the Mishnah is not true, become a brisa because of the brisa. The Tanya. Rabbi Yaisi Aymer, androgynous beriyah b'fnei atzmahu. Now, Rash Tosfos learns, here beriyah is not like that third opinion that says he's neither. Here beriyah means suffix. Le'yichriu b'chachamim m'mzachem nekeva. They could not discern, they could not figure out whether the Torah wants him treated like a male or a female. So therefore, here you see clearly that he holds it to suffix. Fresh the Gemara, Adarabba, less of the Brisa Mikama Masnissim. Why does Rav dismiss Rabbi Yaisi's version of the Mishnah because of the Brisa? Why doesn't he dismiss the version of the Brisa because of the Mishnah? Who told him to give more credibility to the Brisa than to give credibility to the Mishnah? And for the Gemara.
Well, what usually
do we do? Usually we go with the Mishnah. That's Rebbe writing. Brises are from different places. They don't have that same authority as Mishnahs. And for the Gemara, B'deshavke Rabbi Yaisi Lebar Zugei Shema Mino Hadarbe. In the Mishnah, he was together with Rabbi Shimon. In the Brisa, he's by himself. It makes sense that he once upon a time agreed to Rabbi Shimon and then decided to go out on his own. Therefore, Rav says the Brisa has more credibility. Frek Taisus, how does that answer the question? Maybe once upon a time he disagreed with Rav Shimon, and later on he agreed with him. How do you know that he started off agreeing and went to disagree? Maybe he started off disagreeing and then it came up. What's the answer? The answer is that in the Mishnah he's together with Rav Shimon, and the Brisa is by himself. Must be he changed his mind from the Mishnah to the Brisa. How do you know? Tyson does not answer the question. He asks the question. He doesn't understand the Gemara's answer. He doesn't understand why Barbeisi being by himself is a proof that the first he was together and then went by himself. Maybe first he was by himself and then he joined the other side. No.
Did Rabbi know which was which? Wasn't that his reaction?
So that's why the Mishnah should be stronger, if anything. That's the problem of the Gemara. And the Gemara is saying this is an exception because Reb Shimon, together with Reb Shimon, then he went as his own.
Wouldn't Rabbi have known that?
In
picking and choosing which was going to be...
Obviously, the Gemara is saying in this case, Rabbi did not have that information. Now, Tosfos asked Akasha, what's the answer? Because he went on his own, why is that a proof that that happened later? So Tosfos, that's Tosfos Akasha, he has no answer. He doesn't understand the Gemara's answer.
You say it on farm, I mean, if prices come after each night.
But that's not what the Gemara said. The Gemara said since he left his partner, it's a raya he changed his mind. He's in the Mishnah, he's together with Reb Shimon. Right? And in the Braisa, he's by himself. So Rashi explains, because if the Braisa got it wrong, it would have gotten it wrong with Reb Shimon also. Since the Braisa differentiated between Reb Yaisi and Reb Shimon, must be the Braisa understood that Reb Shimon is Reb Shimon, never changed, and Reb Yaisi changed. Because if the Braisa is mistaken, then there would have been a mistake in both of them. But Tosfos' discussion is, maybe the Braisa is not mistaken, but first Reb Yaisi held that way, and then he agreed the other way.
Is this based on what they learned from the Torah, or is it based on science?
It's based how to understand the Pesukim of the Torah, I think. It's not science.
Is the Braisa quoting Reb Shimon at all?
No. So the Tosfos Yeshanim answers in his first answer what Baruch Maisha said. The Mishnah is first, the Braisa is second, so we say that Mistama, the Braisa, had the final version. That's what the Tosfos Yeshanim said. Even though normally we say Mishnahs have more credibility than Braisas, but in a case where somebody changed his mind, we assume the Braisa's got the final version. Rashi. Let's have my season the Tanya Reb Yaisi Adragin is Machwas Ishta Betruma Mekam Braisa. The Tanya Reb Yaisi Sveikahu that says according to Reb Yaisi it's a Suffolk. The Shabbat Reb Yaisi Reb Shimon Ben Sugay. The Ayri Bahadei Ben Masnitsin. He talks together with Reb Shimon in our Mishnah. The Ayri Ben Braisa Luchudei. And he's talking in the Braisa all by himself. Shmami Nahadr Bebe Laf Tanoihi. It must be that he changed his mind. Dr. Rashi, v'lav tanoihi the tamei sami tana de brayso mekama de masnitsin tana de masnitsin. It's not that we have an argument what Reb Yaisi said. Usually, when we have an argument, the Mishnah quotes Reb Yaisi one way, the brayso quotes him a different way. We say the brayso got it wrong. But if that were true, it would have quoted Reb Shimon wrong as well. The masnitsin mekama the tanoihi tavayu habatano lenami the brayso. It would have said Reb Shimon also. Rashi speaking out, if the Braisa were a mistake, it would be a mistake in both. Because the Mishnah quotes Reb Shimon and Reb Yaisi one way, if the Braisa got it wrong, it would have gotten both of them wrong. The fact that it differentiated between Reb Shimon and Reb Yaisi shows it's not a mistake. And once it's not a mistake, we assume that's the later version. Zog to Gemara Baita. Ushmul Amar. Let's all the Braisa become a Masnitz. And Shmuel says no. The Mishnah trumps. We go with the Mishnah against the Braisa, and we accept Reb Yaisi's version of the Mishnah that an androgynous is a male, and that the Braisa had it wrong. Correct the Gemara. Adarabba, let's all the Masnitz become a Braisa. Shmuel should say that maybe the Braisa is right. Dashamina Leila Shmuel, the Chayish Lichidah. Shmuel always worries about the individual's opinion. He always is machmer when there's an individual that's machmer. And here, he's saying, feed him like a male. Let his wife eat chazav v'shayik. Let his wife eat truma. He's being lenient. Treating him like a male is a leniency. Treating him like a suffix is not allowing his wife to eat truma. Now, granted, he also won't get skila for Mishkav Zachar, but meanwhile, you're treating him more strict. And Shmuel always goes with the strict version. So why over here does he dismiss Bryces? Because in a Mishnah, isn't Shmuel's way of life to worry about the individual opinion and be machmer? So why over here isn't he saying, let's be machmer, like Rabbi Yossi of the Brisa, and let his wife not eat truma the Raisa? Emphat the Gemara, please, let me just finish. Emphat the Gemara, hani mili kalay mis akrum es nisim. Shmuel worries about the individual opinion when it doesn't go against the Mishnah. Avakim mis akrum es nisim lechayesh. But to go against the Mishnah, that he doesn't do. To him, a Mishnah is stronger than a Brisa, even though it ends up that the Mishnah is a leniency, it's a leniency. Yes, Shmuel worries about the individual opinion. He's machmel like individual opinions, but not when it goes against the Mishnah. Yes, Rabbi Cohen.
Just because someone was born later and his words are only in a Brisa and the Mishnah's already done, that means he can never. What does that mean? Rav Moshe Feinstein Paskin differently than other people that were born before him, and no one's saying Rav Moshe is going Kenegan the Tiger. I mean, why can't you? Because you're born late, that means you're stupider? I know, so you say the story about, who was it, Rav Yaakov, about the plane? What was the story once?
The answer to your question is very simple. Listen to me, but let me talk for a minute. Brises and Mishnahs were redacted by people. They took opinions of Tanoim that lived before them, and they redacted them. Rebbe didn't make up Mishnayos. Rebbe took the opinions of the Tanoim that he had in front of him, put it together in the Mishnah, obviously added a lot of his own, but it was... When he quoted Rabbi Yaitzi, he wasn't adding his own. He was saying the version of Rabbi Yaitzi that he was taught. The Brises were written by the students of Rebbe. They redacted the Brises. Some are more reliable, some are less reliable. But the Brises were redacted by the students of Rebbe. They didn't make it up either. They took opinions of Tanoim that they were aware of and put it in the Brisa. So here you have Rabbi Yaitzi being quoted two different ways. One by Rebbe, and one by one of Rebbe's students. Which one should we give more credibility to? So Shmuel says, the Mishnah is Rebbe. He checked everything out. He's much more reliable than a Brisa. And Rav says, because the Brisa is not a mistake, because if it would have been a mistake, it would have had a mistake in Reb Shimon also. Therefore, it proves to us that it's not an error in the Brisa, but that the Brisa did more research, the Talmud of Rebbe did more research, and came up with a later version of Reb Yaisi. So Rav says, by the very fact that it doesn't say Reb Shimon and Reb Yaisi hold a different opinion, means it's not a mistake, it's a research, and the research happened after Rebbe, and they found a later opinion of Rebbe Yaisi. So rely on the Brisa. And Shmuel says, excuse me, Rebbe is Rebbe, and his Talmidim are not him, and therefore we go with his version. Now, neither of the two has anything to do with when they were born. It's when we redacted it.
Let
me try to explain it again. Let's say somebody redacted Rabbi Akiva Eger's words and published it in 1952. And then somebody else redacted Rabbi Akiva Eger's words and published it in 1964. Now, and the second version has a different Rabbi Akiva Eger than the first version. Right? So you can say that this 1964 person is not as reliable as the 1952 person. He's not as big as him. So his research is not as good. Or you can say, he found something that the other one didn't have access to. Has nothing to do with the smart.
What's the answer to that? That's exactly what we're saying. Avraham Shoshana is supposed to say about Avraham Nahar, or was the same for just for them?
I have no idea. He didn't send it to me, so I don't know. I didn't buy it, I have no idea.
Well, that means he was able to find things that no one else was able to find.
So again,
is that to do with?
So again, that's the question. Is the Bryce Tana making a mistake, or did he find more information? Rav says, if it were a mistake, he would have made a mistake with both Tanoim. And Shmuel says, Rebbe is Rebbe.
That's in this specific case.
That's all we're talking about. That's all we're talking about.
Why can't a Bryce find with a Mishnah?
It can, but Mishnahs are much more researched. It's Rebbe talking. It's Rebbe.
It's the opposite. Bryce came later.
No, it didn't. It was redacted later, but it's referring to opinions of earlier. Put together, organized.
Didn't they come out at the same time, Mishnah and Rebbe? Some became Mishnahs and some became Rebbe?
No. It became Mishnahs and Rebbe, and then his Talmidim took other things and put it into Rebbe's.
It didn't exist at the same time.
It all existed, but it was all about Baal.
Right. But they all existed at the same time originally, but some were placed.
But Rebbe researched and put what he wanted into the Mishnah and didn't put the other things into the Mishnah.
But that doesn't tell us which is earlier. Or
well, we know that the prices were redacted later.
Redacted
means put together as a group.
Redacted.
Somebody, that's what redacted means.
Redacted means to
what?
Edited.
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 No, they just wanted to bring down exactly. Some prices are more reliable, some prices are not. The Gemara says that. Anything taught by Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Ishiya, those prices, 100% accurate.
So what they were, what the Talmidim were redacting was just everything else that was out there ready and accurate.
Not everything else. They picked and chose things.
That's exactly what I meant.
Right.
There could have been a thousand things that they heard
about
the past, but they chose the ones that they
believed.
I think
we're
all
trying to
ask
themselves.
Who's all,
by the way?
What?
Who's all?
A person is
all
a
Moray. Fine, let's go, yes.
And a Mora, why can't he just say his own opinion?
He can, but if you argue with Rebbe Eger, how much? Let me ask you a question. Are you allowed to argue with Rebbe Eger?
People do
it. I'm asking you, Avram Kohn, can you argue with Rebbe Eger?
Myself, no.
Why not? Shouldn't it say you can't argue with Rebbe Eger?
I argue with it, but then
who would come to the house? Yeah. Are you allowed to argue with Rebbe Eger? But you know what? You wouldn't do it? Because you'd be a fool if you did.
We're talking. And now we're going to
an Amora and a
Tana.
Yeah? Is not the same as you and Rebbe Akiva Eger. But it's in a different league.
That doesn't make sense. These people are two great people because he lived later and became smarter.
It's not a question of smarts only. We're not taking an IQ test. It has to do with the ability, the depth of knowledge, the higher madriga. You don't know what it means. They were at a different level.
Again.
The biggest gadol that lives in 2021 cannot argue with Rebbe Eger. He could, but everybody look at him and say, you're foolish. Rebbe Eger knew so much more than you. He knew so much more. His tradition was so much clearer. How can you argue with Rebbe Eger? You can't. You can, halachically. You can argue with a Tana. You're just a fool if you do. Okay. Rashi. Dr. Rashi.
You don't think Gedolim and Shear and say, you English said this, but I want to say a different shot.
Right.
And that's not good. That yeshiva.
You can do it all you want.
Should we close down?
No. Reb Gifter used to say that now you have to figure out why Reb Kibega didn't say your shot. After you answer Reb Kibega's kasha, figure out why Reb Kibega rejected your answer. You know, we picked up Kibega, he happens to be the one that everybody says, leave him alone. You know what I mean? He's like, stands on his own. You know, the Chazanis said, some people use an expression when they argue on earlier generations, they use the Hebrew expression, Afrani tachas kapas raglav, I'm dirt under the palms of the bottom of his feet. And then they argue, you know, I don't feel myself up to arguing with him, but I think. So then he said, what it means to say is, he's so big, but I'm so right. That's what that expression means. You know, I understand he's much bigger than me, but I'm so right. Rashi. The Chayes Lichida, the Amr Shmuel Bar Chayla Talacha Kerb Yehuda, Mishemeres Yom Shekidish Akav Sachaisa. It's a case we had in the fourth Perek, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira was machmer there. And by a Shemeres Yom, somebody, a lady that was waiting for Yibum, that her, the brother of the deceased, went and made Kedushin. After Reuven died, and then Shimon went and did Kedushin to his wife's sister, which means he now created a situation of no Yibum. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, we don't let him do a marriage. We let him make him wait till some Yibum is done. That Shmuel always worries about the individual opinion. Something about it. And now we're going to take a trip through Shas. Something about it. Amri Bei Rav Mishmei De Rav. They said in the yeshiva of Rav, in the name of Rav, and this is Rav Huna speaking. Rav Huna quoted Rav differently than we quoted Rav before. He said, Halachik Rabbi Yaisi Ban Dragonis. He paskins like Rabbi Yaisi of our Mishnah by an Andragonus, that he's a definite male. Right? Also, Uba Harkava. And in the case of Harkava, which we will learn about, nothing to do with Masechtas Yevamos, there's an argument there too, and Rav says, I paskin like Rabbi Yaisi. Ushmul Amar, Bekushi, Ubekiddush. And Shmuel says, I paskin like Rabbi Yaisi in two cases. The case of Kushi, or Kaishi, I don't know how he pronounces the word. I would say Kaishi, but I'm not sure. And Kiddush. Now, we have four cases here. Rav Paskins are Rabbi Yaisi in two, and Shmuel Paskins are Rabbi Yaisi in another two. Now, we only know what one case is, which is Andragonus. The other three need to be explained. But we'll catch up with Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Alok, Rabbi Yaisi, the Masnissen. The Amri Bei Rav, Hainu Rav Huna, Kidla Kaman. Amri Bei Rav refers to Rav Huna, like we will say later. Upon got to Amrin La'oli with the Rav, less of the Matnisan. He argues in what we said that Rav, that we shouldn't accept the Mishnah. Ubar Kavah L'kamam Mepharishlo, the Gemara will explain what it is. V'chein Kushi V'kid, is it Kushi or Kiddush? Kushi. Kushi and Kiddush. Ubakula Ayyub Shimon Badei. And the truth is, how do I know the Rav Huna is rejecting the previous Rav? Because in the other three cases, Rav Yaisi is agreeing with Rav Shimon. So therefore, it makes sense to say that when we pass like Rabbi Yaisi here, we also mean when he agrees with Rabbi Shimon, which is the Mishnah. Hilchah Masabra that Rabbi Yaisi the Masnisin Koi, Dai Rabbi Shimon Badei. In all these four cases, Rabbi Yaisi was together with Rabbi Shimon. Now, previously we said Rabbi Yaisi changed his mind by Andragonus. But the fact that Rav and Shmuel are putting four cases is Mashma, all four cases are the same, which means he agrees with Rabbi Shimon, which means it's the version of our Mishnah. Okay. So Andragonus are the Amram. We know the case of Andragonus. Rav is passing like our Mishnah. The Rabbi Yaisi said Andragonus is a male. What is our cover? What is the case of our cover? Ditnan. Now, what is as follows? One is not allowed to plant or graft or do anything in the planting family on Shemitah. Shemitah is coming up next year, and in Eretz Yisrael will be prohibited to plant, graft, do any kind of planting activity on Shemitah. The Isser of Shemitah extends 30 days before Shemitah. We learn it out from the Pasuk, that 30 days before Shemitah, and it's questionable whether it's a game, it's not a day or not, I'm not going into the Shemitah, but the Gemara is operating now, that the Isser of planting applies 30 days before Shemitah. What? Before Rosh Hashanah. Right. From the beginning of El. Now, the question now is, I have to plant that it should be, the roots should take hold before the Isser of planting. Meaning I cannot plant the day before, because then it's really rooting into the ground, if there's such a word, when it's usher to do. My action has to be finished. The whatever happens to a tree to take hold has to take hold before the time of the Isser. Meaning it's not like Shabbos, that I can plant on Friday afternoon, and it's none of my business what happens over Shabbos. By Shemitah, I can't plant if the process of, what word am I looking for, getting, developing the roots, happened during the time of Isser. It has to be completed before the time of the Isser. And the question is, how much time do we give that? How much development of roots is necessary? That's the machlokes. So when I have to plant, How many days before the time of the Isser do I have to plant in order that it should be enough developed that I didn't do anything wrong?
Trees.
That's what we're talking about, trees. That's what we're talking about in this Mishnah. We're not learning Hilchos Shemitah now. We're learning this Mishnah. A Naitim do not plant trees. They Mavrichen. Mavrichen is, they used to run a branch of a tree underground and bring it out somewhere else. And that branch developed its own roots. As it ran underground, the Rabbi Nisan makes it work that way, that branch develops its own roots and becomes its own tree, even though it started being part of somebody else, of some other tree. So that's considered an actual planting. And the third thing is, a markivim, which is grafting, adding a branch to a tree. You can graft it into the tree. Don't ask me how you do that. I have no idea. I have no idea in agriculture at all. But obviously there was a way to attach a branch to an existing tree. And again, it has to develop into becoming part of that tree. It takes time. So it says, Erev Shvi'is, Pakas Mishleishim Yom Lefnei Rosh Hashanah. It needs at least 30 days. Now the Gemara is going to explain, this 30 days is besides the extra 30 days that you're not allowed to plant before Rosh Hashanah. So it means 60 days. V'mnata v'hivrich v'hirkiv yakar. And if you did it, you got to uproot it. You cannot have pleasure. You cannot use this tree that was planted when you're not allowed to plant it. And for the roots to develop, need 30 whole days. Besides the 30 days that you're not allowed to plant before Rosh Hashanah. So this 30 doesn't mean 30, this 30 means 60.
Rabbi, what
should
be different than every other kind of labor that you take your hands off before the period?
I don't know. Honestly, don't know. Mr. Rice? I didn't tell you.
Which one? Both or two?
The Yakar? I'm not sure whether
it is. The
both are derisive. You heard me. The Yehuda Aimer, Kol HaKavish Eina Kaletas Mishleshi Yom Shuvena Kaletas. The Yehuda says, the graft either takes hold in 3 days or it's wasted. And therefore, after 3 days, it's completely taken hold. So you only have to separate 3 days before the time of the Isser for grafting. And the Yehuda Reb Shimon Aimer, Shnei Shabbatas. And the Yehuda Reb Shimon say, for grafting, 2 weeks. So in grafting, we have a machlokes. In planting, there's no machlokes. In grafting, there's a machlokes. One says 30 days, one says 3 days, one says 2 weeks.
2 weeks besides the 30?
The Yamar, Reb Nachman, Amar Abba Bavua. The Dibre Yahim Reshleishim, Tzarek Shleishim Reshleishim. Really, we don't need this for this Gemara, but the Gemara brings it in. The one who says 30 means 30 plus 30. The Dibre Yahim Reshleishim, Tzarek Shleishim Reshleishim. The one that says 3 needs 33. Well, the Divri Aimer Shnei Shabbatas, Tzarek Shnei Shabbatas Reshleishim. And the one that says 2 weeks needs 2 weeks and 30 days. So, Rav is paskin like Rabbi Yaisi that it's 2 weeks. That's why we brought this in. Rav said we paskin like Rabbi Yaisi by harkava, by grafting. What is he talking about? He's talking to Machloikas of how much you have to graft before Shemitah. And he's saying, I paskin like Rabbi Yaisi, and Rabbi Yaisi says, it's a 2 week rooting process, development of root process. When you graft a branch into a tree, it takes 2 weeks to grab hold. Now, I don't know what this machlokes is based on. I don't know science. I don't know agriculture. I don't know what happens in 3 days. I don't know what happens in 2 weeks. I don't know what happens in 30 days. But they're arguing about that, and I don't know the basis of the machlokes. I don't know anything. I'm just quoting this Mishnah. Rashi.
You need to tell me if in Eretz Yisrael, if they would do this.
I don't know how Halacha Lemaisa.
No, I'm asking. You mean to tell me it'd be very, very scary if these people did this, and then in the middle of Shemitah, you see a person going to his field and taking the stuff?
Again, you ask me to pass Halacha Shemitah, I'm not ready to pass Halacha Shemitah at all. I don't know what to tell you.
But I have another question, Rabbi. It bothered me a lot.
Yes, how long did it bother you for?
You have these places that you're supposed to give money to the people.
Here we go again, yes.
I said this before?
No. Not since 7 years ago. Go ahead.
What you're doing is you're not giving them the nisayon.
Oh, Rabbi Cohn, the Rabbi Nishlam gives people the nisayonis. Our job is to make life people easier for people, not harder. We don't say to people, the Rabbi Nishlam gave you the nisayon, the guy's poor. Nebuchadnezzar, he has no parnasa. he asks you for money to buy bread, you say, listen, your punishment made you poor. That's your nisayon. I don't want to take away your nisayon. That's exactly what you just said. How can I get? I don't give a fuck. And the punishment made you poor. He wants you to be poor. You got to struggle through this. It's exactly what you just said.
I'm sorry. When a person's poor, that wasn't a mitzvah. That's not a mitzvah to be poor.
It's not a mitzvah to starve on Shemitah.
Then they starve.
The mitzvah is not to work the fields. Now, it's difficult. If you can make it easier for him, it's like making it easier for the poor person.
Poor person is not getting a mitzvah being poor.
By the way, the Roman governor, Caesar, asked this question to Rabbi Akiva. He said, why in the world do you guys give charity? The Rabbani son made the guy poor.
He's wrong.
Oh, okay, I agree. He's wrong. Right?
But Rabbi Basra.
Rabbi Basra Das.
Aleph.
Good. Right.
But the point I'm saying here is different. The pshat is good. Let's say when he's doing the mitzvah, good. Not don't let him starve. But should I not give him enough that he can survive completely?
It's not my job to give people nisyonos. It's my job to make it easier for them.
I'm sorry, everyone agrees. I understand what I'm saying. I'm really serious. Why is
the
nisayon only for the farmer?
That's what the Rabbanim said. Listen, I have trouble. My daughters need shidduchim. So nobody should help me. That's what you're saying. Nobody should help me. The Rabbanim gave me a nisayon.
No.
It's not a mitzvah.
And therefore,
so nobody should help me because why should I help a guy? The Rabbanim gave him a nisayon. Let him deal with the Rabbanim.
What part of the Torah says that you should struggle for shidduchim.
Which parsha in the Torah said you should struggle for Shemitah? It didn't say that. It said don't work on Shemitah. It didn't say struggle.
I think everybody agrees with what I'm saying. I'm really serious.
I don't know. I'm looking around the room. I don't see too many people agreeing with you.
No, meaning, don't give them, let's say they need $10,000 to live. Don't give them $10,000.
Where do you see that?
The Torah promises you're going to get extra before the Shemitah.
Again, it's very nice to be on Yenim's Cheshbon. You know what I mean? On somebody else's Cheshbon, I can be a tzaddik. I think he should go through those shyness. The Rebbeinu Shlom gave it to him. I don't want to make life easier for him. Chas v'shalom. Our job is to make life as easy as people. It's not our job to help the Rabbanim Shlom get the guy tests.
How do you know it's not for just so you can fulfill the
mitzvah? I guess not everybody's agreeing with you.
He's a yachid.
Okay. By the way, with all the money they raised for Keren HaShemitah, they're still struggling. They don't give everybody enough to live on. They don't give them as much as they earned on the farm. They make it easier. They make it easier, but it's hard. Your body should take care of them. That's his job, and our job is to do what we can do. I want you to donate to Karen next year. Right there.
I will. Do you have a P.O. box?
Don't think about it. Don't worry, they'll get you. Zuck Trashi, Tzarek, Yakar, the Gekulta Meshvias, it gets absorbed, that's the word we use. I guess it gets developed, rooted, I don't know what word I want to use, in Shemitah. Ein HaKavah Keletas V'Pachas M'Shleishim Yoyim, it doesn't work less than 30 days. Tzarek Shleishim M'Shleishim, they should tickle Shleishim with Meshvias. The trashy, the whole shleishim of neshvias kishvias dabi. Truth is, we don't need it for this gemara. The gemara is just being intellectually honest. It's 30 plus 30. The napkam be becharish because of tishbais. The mashkin beis hashlochim in the first parak gemara cutting. Gimel v'lamed, gimel l'klita, three verbs for rooting. Shetiklet kaidim zmana iser. So that's the case of hakava. So now we know andragonus, we know hakava. Shmuel mentioned kaisi and kiddush. What are those two cases? Zog the Gemara. What is Kaishi? Okay, I have to give an introduction. It takes me about 2 minutes, so I'd like just to be able to give an introduction. In the time of the Mishnayos, and a part of the time of the Gemara, women did differently than they do today. And that is, they had a cycle. they saw blood, they saw a discharge, they became a nida. They were a nida for 7 days, not seven clean days. 7 days. At the end of 7 days, they were clean, they went to the mikvah. That means a woman could see blood for 5 days, then be clear for 2 days, or she could see for 6 days and be clear on the seventh day. At the end of the seventh day, the night after the seventh day, she can go to the mikvah, regardless of how long she was clean, as long as she's clean then. That's the halacha of nida d'oraisa. Then there's an 11-day period. During that 11-day period, if she has a discharge, she's not a nida. She is 1 day discharge, she has to keep one clean day. 2 days in a row discharge, she has to keep one clean day. 3 days in a row discharge, she becomes a zava, which needs 7 clean days. If she doesn't see it all during that 11 days, after those 11 days, which is an 18 day already, 7 plus 11, the next time she sees, she starts again. She starts her 7 cycle again. So every woman has an 18-day cycle, but then it doesn't necessarily mean she'll see on day 19. The next time she sees, she starts that 18-day cycle. 7 of nida, and 11 when she can't become a nida. That's the halacha. If a woman becomes a zava and needs 7 clean days, she can never become a nida till after those 7 clean days. That's the halacha midaraisa. That's the background. The background to this sugya is to understand that there are days that a woman can be a nida, and there are days that she can't be a nida, she can only become a zava. During those 11 days, she cannot become a nida. If she sees 3 consecutive days, she becomes a zava, which requires her now to have 7 clean days, which a nida would not have to have. We're machmer, any woman that sees any discharge waits 7 clean days. But that was the halacha in those days. There was Yimei Nidus, Yimei Zivus. Every woman had to keep track of that 18-day calendar. Yes?
This, regardless if she's pregnant or
not. Nothing to do with pregnancy. Nothing to do with pregnancy.
How would she lead you during pregnancy?
I haven't gotten anywhere to pregnancy. Work in that order. So again, every woman had 7 days of Nidus, followed by 11 days that she could not become a nida. They were called the days of her zava, meaning the days of potential to become a zava. Once those 11 days pass, the next time she discharges, she starts her 7 days again. So let's say a woman sees every 28 days, so she has 7 days of nida, 11 days that she can't become a nida, and then she has 10 days that she doesn't see, but she could become a nida as soon as she sees, whenever she sees during those days. That's the halacha. When a woman becomes pregnant, most of the time, she will not see that. A healthy woman's pregnancy, a woman doesn't bleed during the time of her pregnancy. If she does, she's a nida. It happens. If she did see a discharge of blood during her pregnancy, she becomes a nida. We're not talking about a kesem now, we're talking about a full ria. And then she would have 7 days of nidus, and then 11 days where she could become a zava. So again, even though she's pregnant and she shouldn't be seeing at all, but if she did, she had 7 days of nida and 11 days of that she could become a zava. Now, during those 11 days, she started having labor pains. And she's seeing blood and she's in pain. She has labor pains. How long can those labor pains keep on going that we say she's not a zava, but it's part of childbirth? Some women have labor pains for a day. Some women have labor pains for longer than a day, and they discharge longer. How long are we willing to attribute the pain, the seeing of the blood, to birth, not to zivas? Now, Kamina is, does she need 7 clean days after childbirth? If she is a zava, she would have to catch up on those 7 clean days one day. If she gives birth, she doesn't need 7 clean days. She waits 7 days, comes clean, goes to the mikvah, and then she's tahira. So at how many days are we willing to attribute labor pains to birth? And at what point do we say, it's too long, this is not labor pains, this is zivus, even though she's feeling pain?
She's having two putting out the, she's secreting blood or something?
She's secreting, yes. While she's out, yes, she's seeing God.
Is that how it's happening?
This is why, I don't know, I'm dealing with a Mishnah, I don't deal with today.
So non-pregnant is 3 days, right? For non-pregnant women.
No, but she's in labor. Labor is not Ziva.
Yeah, but like a normal woman.
Normal woman, 3 days, makes her a Zava.
Makes her a Zava. But we want to know now that she's pregnant.
Let's say she's 2 weeks, for 2 weeks straight, she's seeing blood every day with labor pains. Is she a Zava or not?
Okay, at what point do we consider that a Zava?
Correct.
Not
correct. We will start this again tomorrow.